Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Back in March, former CDC Director Robert Redfield said he believed the COVID-19 pandemic originated in a Wuhan, China lab. Dr. Fauci at the time said Mr. Redfield's opinion does not make biological sense, end quote. Now we're learning State Department leaders were told not to pursue an investigation into the origins of COVID-19, as U.S. tax dollars were being used at the Wuhan Institute where the virus may have escaped. Thursday, Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, says he does not yet support Democrats trying to go it alone to pass an infrastructure package. Manchin made it clear that he wants talks between the White House and Republicans to continue. A SpaceX rocket blasted off Thursday en route for the International Space Station with a supply of squid, toothpaste, and avocados. In fact, 7,300 pounds of supplies should arrive Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
NASA is planning space missions to red-hot Venus. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau has more.
NASA will be heading to Venus twice in the next decade. The agency has announced a pair of missions to the planet in 2028 and 2030 to explore the planet's atmosphere and geology. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said the missions aim to learn how Venus became an inferno-like world capable of melting lead at the surface. The last U.S. craft to visit the planet was the Magellan Orbiter in 1990. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
A famous defense attorney has died. Wendy King reports.
Ethley Bailey, a criminal defense attorney best known for representing O.J. Simpson during his murder trial, has died in Atlanta, his family has announced. He died while in hospice, but the family declined to reveal why. He also represented Patty Hearst for crimes she committed with the Sindhianese Liberation Army after the group kidnapped her. Bailey was 87.
We are USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Recently discovered emails from Dr. Fauci's account were released by the Freedom of Information Act. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo gives Fox News his insights that Fauci may have been part of a cover-up to discover the origins of COVID-19.
So I've seen some of the emails. What really matters here is when it mattered most, when the Chinese were covering this up in early January of 2020, Dr. Fauci certainly would have seen the same intelligence that I saw. We would certainly have known that the risk that this came from the laboratory was real. We would have known that the Chinese Communist Party didn't want any of us to know that, and that raised red flags throughout the entire United States government for far too long. Dr. Fauci let those of us who are out there talking about it carry the mantle, and we couldn't get science. We got politics instead, and that's what you saw in the left-wing media. You saw politics trumping science, and that delayed our capacity to respond to what the Chinese Communist Party foisted upon the world.
Over 3 million people have died as a result of the pandemic. President Biden is taking the First Lady on tour in Europe next week with a scheduled visit to the Queen of England. Dan Naraki reports.
President Biden will meet with Queen Elizabeth II during an upcoming visit to the UK. Buckingham Palace announcing the meeting Thursday, saying it will take place while Biden is in the country for a meeting of the leaders of the Group of Seven. The summit, taking place June 11th through the 13th, will be the first face-to-face meeting for the leaders of the US, UK, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan in more than 2 years. The trip, which includes a planned summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Switzerland, will be Biden's first overseas trip since taking office.
For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Six minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. DeRoy Murdoch over there, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor at National Review Online. DeRoy, how are we doing, buddy?
Great, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Always good. You know, one thing about the Joe Biden administration, he's always up to something. I mean, if there's not enough money to spend, you know what really amazes me on all this, whether it's by policy, it is going to be by bankrupting the nation that he's going to force America in an untenable situation. I mean, we're going to have a country and no money here pretty soon.
Yeah, we're going to be completely broke. Like, I don't know, we'll have to have some countries in Europe send us care packages or something like this.
Yeah, Venezuela will be sending us some garbage out the back of their trucks, I guess, to feed the people.
The people of Venezuela will have some kind of like a telethon to help their friends, the gringos to the north.
Wouldn't that be rich? I would love that.
Something.
Oh, my gosh.
They start like a take a gringo to lunch program, something like that.
Take a gringo to lunch. You're hysterical. That's, oh, my gosh. But surely we jest, whoever Shirley is. But, yes, we jest. We jest with her, too.
Oh, Shirley.
Yes, exactly. Oh, we're a routine here today, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, sorry about that. But anyway, the reality is there's pain and then there are hills. I mean, the people are suffering here right now, and I don't think the administration could care less.
I just wonder, what are they doing? I mean, we had the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, which is, I think, was it 9 or 10% COVID relief and 90% other stuff. And then we get this $2.2 trillion infrastructure proposal, which has not passed yet, thank God. And that was only 6% infrastructure, 94% other stuff, including, quote unquote, social infrastructure, which is a brand new phrase I hadn't heard until
right.
a couple of months ago. And then we've got another, was it called American, not American Jobs Plan, I forget the name, that was another $2 trillion and change. And then we get this, the Friday afternoon before Memorial Day, which is when you bury bad news, mm-hmm. we get a brand new budget of $6 trillion for 1 year, with deficits all the way into the horizon. And Larry Kudlow on Fox Business Network, I think on Tuesday, had a very interesting point. I thought it was fascinating that the budget itself, according to the administration itself, they are assuming a growth rate of only 1.9% in the years to come. So if you're going to spend that kind of money, I don't believe in Keynesianism and all their stuff, but if you do
right.
that, then, hey, all this spending ought to boom and we ought to have a growth rate of, you know, 3, 4, 5% and, you know, prosperity is just around the corner and all that good stuff. But if you're going to spend all this money and have a meager 1.9% growth rate, then what's the point? Why do that? Why not just leave everything the way it is? And
can you say taxes?
Yeah, maybe they're assuming the taxes are going to throttle the economy. Or it could be, frankly, AOC has said this, our lady of the far left here in New York, that the idea is that you should slow down the economy, because if the economy slows down maybe to 1.9% a year, you're not going to have as much CO2 produced, you're not going to have as many greenhouse gases, you'll save the planet, et cetera, et cetera. So we need to throttle growth specifically and deliberately, because that's more so-called earth-friendly than having a robust, you know, 3 or 4 or 5% growth rate, which I guess produces more pollution and endangers the planet, leads to global warming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Why do we give someone with such genius this kind of room? I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody else earlier. In fact, a good friend of ours, Dr. John Lott, who said to say hi, by the way. And I said, John, why is it when people say something that is really, with all due respect, idiotic? I mean, it is like stupid. You know, nobody says, hey, you know what? That's just stupid. You know, I don't even know how to talk to you because you are so far from reality. That doesn't even make any kind. I can't even do any kind of pretzel logic to get to where, you know, to get to the point that you just expressed right now. I mean, that's just idiotic.
Well, you're right. I think part of it is that, especially with people on our side, we believe in civil discourse, and let's be nice, let's be polite. And so you try to engage them on the issues and debate facts, figures, logic, et cetera. But some of these ideas, as you say, and I think critical race theory is a good example, is it is so ipso facto awful and destructive and horrible that the response should be something close to shut up.
Right, exactly.
Maybe a couple more, maybe two or three more words than that. Shut up, please. I think make it rather than two words, make it three words. Shut up, please.
Right.
I think might be the appropriate response to that because we have a lot of ideas. Some of their ideas, okay, I'm not for it, but we can have an interesting debate. And then some of this other stuff is just, you know, pure poison, pure poison. And I think more and more stuff needs to be called out that way.
Well, it kind of reminded me of Richard Pryor, you know, after the Watts riots and everything, DeRoy. I remember going to a big premiere. It was a big movie. And Richard Pryor was the recurring drop-in voice, and they had him on camera. When somebody said something that was absolutely stupid, his refrain was that, and he used the N-word because he could use it, is crazy. And, you know, people laugh, but it was the point was well made. It was like, don't even listen to this guy. He's an idiot, you know, because he was saying something, you know, just people just out there. And that's what we need. We need a Richard Pryor who can come in and just say, you know, they're an idiot, you know.
I think that was the title of his biggest album. That's exactly what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I think you'd have to clean that up a little bit these days, but I think that's the appropriate response to a lot of this stuff that's coming out. I mean, we certainly see it in the area of crime reform, as it's called, you know, bail reform. Just basically, unless you actually rape or kill somebody, you come in, and they take a picture of you to add to the scrapbook, and they let you out the back door within 10 minutes, and boom, you go back out and say, do it again. These sorts of ideas are not cute. They're not funny. They lead to mayhem and bloodshed and death. I mean,
the guy in New York the other day, you see this video. This guy, he has been apprehended, arrested by something like 40 times, obviously has mental issues, and you've got this elderly Asian lady walking down the street minding her own business, and he clobbers her. He knocks her out.
On the ground, boom.
Yeah.
And she didn't call him names, didn't provoke him, didn't bother. She's walking down the street having a good day, and boom, gets sucker punched, knocked on the ground. And as you say, he's got a nice long rap sheet, and he ought to be either in jail or in a mental institution. And instead, he's walking the streets. And it's very interesting. You hear this ongoing refrain from the left about anti-Asian hate, stop the anti-Asian hate and all that. You're hearing less of it now because when they started, it was all part of the narrative that this is white nationalism, white supremacism, probably Trump supporters, angry white men, et cetera. And time after time after time, you see the videotape of these poor people being attacked. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, they're black guys beating up these Asian
people
mainly, and some men.
Right.
They're not white people. They're looking for the white, you know, the Aryan Nation people beating up on the Asians. And no, they're generally black men doing it. And so I think that's why you hear a lot less of the left clamoring about the anti-Asian hate effort. But regardless of whatever the propaganda is, you do have people who are being beaten and hurt. And people need to come out and stop that. And if they're insane, they need to go into mental institutions and get the help they need.
Well, if it gained any traction at all, I think Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson would be dressing up as Asians. What do you think?
It would, definitely. Well,
leading a revolt. I mean, it's like, okay, here's another profit center for us. It's the Asian community, right? We're going to represent the Asian community here.
That's right. Well, I mean, if there were white people beating up on the Asians, there's no question that you would have Sharpton and Jackson and Maxine Waters and the whole crew out there making noise and leading marches and going up to corporations saying, "Oh, give us $1 million to speak on behalf of the Asians, et cetera, or whatever." They're not doing that, which says to me, okay, this is not really a white supremacy thing. It's very often, for whatever reason, angry black men, not angry white men, and so they've gotten a backed out of the room, and now they're quiet about it. That's the signal that this is yet another fraud on the part of the left.
Exactly. And meanwhile, it takes up our attention. It distracts us from the real truth that we need to focus on. Speaking of which, we've got more with DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA is working closely with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and with other federal partners to provide COVID-19 vaccines as quickly and safely as they can. The VA knows that you have lots of questions and information is changing so fast, so please check back to the VA.gov website for updates, and they will continue to update the website on a regular basis to give you the latest information. If you find yourself not enrolled in the VA, but you need a COVID-19 vaccine, then go to the VA.gov and locate the nearest VA facility to you so you can reach out and find out how you can schedule your vaccine shots. If you happen to be not only a veteran, but a spouse of a veteran or caregiver or a CHAMP VA recipient, the VA will contact you and let you know when your vaccine shot will be ready. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. This is Dan Perkins, and thanks for listening.
After the top of the hour, DeRoy Murdoch is with us, the Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor at National Review Online, and founding member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. DeRoy, I wanted to talk to you about one of the articles you wrote about Joe Biden and a tragic tale of three pipelines. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've seen the situation with pipelines, the pipeline policy on the part of Joe Biden says a lot about this man and his priorities. You know, the first day he was inaugurated president, before, yeah, I think even before the inaugural parade, yeah, he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, killed 11,000 jobs, just like that. Didn't give these people a transition period or anything of the sort. And so these people are now out, you know, out of work and running around trying to find something to do with themselves. And meanwhile, the whole idea of energy independence has kind of gone up in smoke here, which is obviously a complete nightmare. And then we've got the next situation of the pipeline, which is the Colonial Pipeline well, I guess pretty much across the South that's wiped out our you know, the supply of gasoline and that sort of thing. And then it turns out those are Russian hackers. The response to that wasn't, Putin, you know, maybe the Kremlin didn't do this, but you've got the former KGB there. You guys have, you know, a surveillance state. We want to know who these people are. We want them extradited. We want them brought here for trial. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they would be delivered, but at least send that message.
Exactly.
Instead, Biden comes out and says, well, the Kremlin didn't do it. No, we don't think they're responsible. You know, we have no intelligence that said they did it, so whatever. And then a couple of days later, he approves the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which connects Russia with Germany and would send natural gas there. As it happens, the Keystone pipeline is killed because supposedly of the environmental reasons. The CO2 that comes out of Nord Stream 2 will chew up 74% of any carbon dioxide benefit you get from killing the Keystone pipeline. So if this, you know, if you happen to be concerned about CO2 and you're happy Keystone is dead, well, 74% of that benefit is being dried up by the approval or the lifting of the sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And then a couple of days after that, Biden then rewards the Kremlin again and says, okay, let's have a summit in Geneva. I think it's going to be June 16th, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it's important to talk to the Russians. They've got nuclear weapons, of course. But to do it that soon after the Colonial Pipeline and that whole situation basically says to people in the world, you know, come over, kick us in the teeth, and we'll run over and give you a big bear hug within a couple of weeks. Tremendous signs of weakness, and it's funny that you look at all of these things, including the fact that the Nord Stream Pipeline CEO is a man by the name of Matthias Barnig. He's a former officer of the Stasi, the East German secret police. So you look at all that, and it looks to me like Russian collusion. Every time these things happen, Russia benefits. And we heard for years how Donald J. Trump was a Russian agent, but he's the guy who approved the Keystone Pipeline, which is bad for the Kremlin since it would push down oil prices generally. I don't think it would have responded to the Colonial Pipeline the way that Trump did. And he very successfully pressured the West German or Germans, Angela Merkel, to basically to slow down, if not completely stop or sandbag the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So Trump had basically anti-Russia policy, and look at Biden's policies, and they benefit the Kremlin at every turn.
Exactly. Well, Donald Trump exposed Angela Merkel, and she was surprised because the rest of the NATO nations were looking at him going, yeah, what gives here? What are you doing? What are you setting us up for? Because we know the Russians aren't, you know, a beneficent entity. I mean, they've proven time and again when they've got you over the barrel in more ways than one, they're going to exercise and leverage that faucet, that control of fuel into that pipeline.
That's right. And I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to rely more on the Russians for 120 proof vodka. Well, you probably can live without that for a while if you need to.
Right.
Certainly other substitutes. But look, let's say that a couple of years from now, Putin rolls into Ukraine and just invades Ukraine, takes over Kiev, and NATO tries to respond. And he says, and let's say it's in January, which he has some more time to do that. He says, okay, great. You know, you guys push back on me. I'm going to turn off the natural gas. And suddenly our friends from Hamburg to Munich are going to be in their homes shivering.
Yes, exactly.
And their economy will come to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. And so Germany says, okay, let's you know, arrange a ceasefire and some sort of accommodation and appease the Russians. We're setting ourselves up for exactly that scenario, which is not good for NATO, not good for the United States, frankly, not good for Germany, not good for Eastern Europe, not good for anybody but Vladimir Putin and the gentleman in the Kremlin.
In another sort of way, but in a similar model, I mean, Vladimir Putin is learning from President Xi, because China's doing the same thing. I mean, they are in control of the spigot in so many ways here that they've got people surrendering their own intelligence and acumen to go along, whether you happen to be, you know, an NBA basketball star, or you're associated with the NFL or some entertainment figure, all honor and glory to President Xi and the Communist Chinese.
It is amazing, and the level to which people grovel. You may have seen a couple of weeks ago. There was an actor, I think John Cena, I believe is his name.
Yes, right.
And he just sort of casually made some comment about, you know, we hope our movie does well in the nation of Taiwan or something like that.
Right.
And I guess somebody got to him and said, Taiwan's not a nation. It's you know, it's basically a territory of China. And he came out and just gave this groveling apology in Mandarin Chinese, saying how sorry he was, what a terrible affront it was, and he hopes the people of China forgive him, and on and on and on. I mean, Taiwan is a separate country. They've got their own flag, their own currency, their own military, their own president, their own political system, and this guy is out there apologizing. I mean, he could have said, all right, I mean, I'm going to repeat it. That'd be bad enough. But to come out and just do this, you know, please, I beg your forgiveness as I kiss your feet. I mean, it was
right, exactly. And here's Senna. Senna's a huge individual. I mean, this guy is known for his human strength and, you know, and brawn and that sort of thing. And you know, he kowtowed, and, boy, he assumed the fetal position quite quickly.
Boy, he did. And he's a former, I believe, a former wrestler. So
yes, exactly.
A brawny guy.
Yeah.
And here he is, as you say, just sort of getting in the fetal position and, you know, sucking his thumb in front of Xi Jinping. And all that does is embolden these guys, encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. And especially, look, it'd be one thing to have that posture, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. But after COVID-19, 600,000 dead Americans, 3 million people dead around the world, China not, certainly not apologizing, but not even giving us an explanation of what happened.
Going to.
Okay, we'll give you a timeline. We're not going to apologize because we Chinese don't do that in the Chinese Communist Party, but at least we'll give you a timeline and let you know what happened, and you can, everyone will at least be able to know what took place. No, they're not even doing that. And that's what's happening in Beijing. And then here in the United States, we get this former wrestler, you know, on his knees kissing Xi Jinping's feet and begging for forgiveness. It really is, it's awful. And when you're in that, that kind of position, usually not good things happen.
Yeah, and here it is. Then you got the mainstream media going, well, maybe Donald Trump was right. But they kind of mumbled that. They didn't say that real clearly. You know, but once again, Donald Trump was right, and they're kind of trying to, you know, I don't know, regain or hang on to some sort of credibility because, you know, look what's happening. Their credibility numbers are falling off the rails here because people are seeing them exactly as Donald Trump said for 4 years. This is fake news.
Yeah, and you know, it's just one story after another. I mean, we heard for years and years that Trump colluded with the Russians during the election. I mean, Robert Mueller and company and the Senate investigators and House investigators all said, no, there's nothing to that, and the FBI as well. And then Trump said, you know, this could have come out of a lab. Oh, my God, crazy, racist, anti-Chinese, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? Now they're saying it looks like it came out of a lab. And you've had one story after another on which the media just, you know, completely pinned all of their whatever was left of their prestige and credibility, and these things just have gone up in smoke one after another after another after another. I mean, if they have any credibility left, it's about it's about as wide across as a piece of dental floss.
Well, and Dr. Fauci knew it came out of a lab. He had to know. He had people there. He helped build the Wuhan lab. His people came back. Yes, his people came back and said, these guys are cowboys. They're gonna mess something up. Their standards are off. They're really not very well disciplined. He knew that 18 months at least before the breakout, and then it breaks out, and he says nothing. And then what's happening in typical style here in our country? Oh, let's give him a book deal.
Yeah.
So now... Please,
perfect, right? Yeah.
Please, where's Richard Pryor when we need him?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's amazing, and it happens over time and time again. If you're on the right, you go to jail. When you screw up, if you're on the left, you get a book deal and TV contract.
Yeah.
And right now, Fauci's got his book deal, and if he leaves the government, he's going to get a TV contract. And this guy funded some of the research that was done in this gain-of-function, dangerous gain-of-function research done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and American taxpayers pay for that research.
Exactly.
And I can't think of any logical reason why you would take a bat virus and make it more lethal and more transmissible, unless it's trying to create a bioweapon.
Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. Thank you, DeRoy. Take care.
Okay, Bill. Great talk to you.
This report is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services. The United States has achieved a significant milestone in administering over 200 million vaccine doses to protect against COVID-19. Getting the rest of the American population vaccinated is going to be more of a challenge, though. The Department of Health and Human Services estimates around 20% of Americans are still hesitant to get vaccinated. Dr. Estona Wells Jarrett, a board-certified pediatrician and partner at Sandy Springs Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine PC.
Black Americans are almost three times more likely to be hospitalized from COVID-19 than white Americans.
And while all COVID-19 vaccines authorized for use in the U.S. have been shown to be 100% effective against hospitalization and death, nearly a quarter of Black Americans are still hesitant. Black Americans were well represented in the vaccine clinical trials, and all FDA-authorized COVID-19 vaccines are safe for all. It is important to remember that children need protection, too. Those 12 and over are now eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine.
For more information, visit vaccines.gov.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Back in March, former CDC Director Robert Redfield said he believed the COVID-19 pandemic originated in a Wuhan, China lab. Dr. Fauci at the time said Mr. Redfield's opinion does not make biological sense, end quote. Now we're learning State Department leaders were told not to pursue an investigation into the origins of COVID-19, as U.S. tax dollars were being used at the Wuhan Institute where the virus may have escaped. Thursday, Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, says he does not yet support Democrats trying to go it alone to pass an infrastructure package. Manchin made it clear that he wants talks between the White House and Republicans to continue. A SpaceX rocket blasted off Thursday en route for the International Space Station with a supply of squid, toothpaste, and avocados. In fact, 7,300 pounds of supplies should arrive Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here. Liz Peek joins us now. Yes, the Fox News contributor and former Wall Street research analyst here to break it all down for us. We're going to be talking about your money and also this latest jobs report, what it means to you and me. Liz, welcome back. Always good to have you with us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm terrific. I hope you are, too.
Yes, I am, in spite of it all. Of course, I'm here in the free part of America, Florida. I know you're still fighting through the haze and confusion still in New York, bless your heart. But let's talk about these job numbers. What do they mean to us, the new job numbers?
The jobs number was actually kind of a perfect number in the sense that it's not so big that investors are going to worry that the Fed has an excuse or a rationale for immediately hauling in its bond buying program. I think they will do that earlier. I've been talking about that for a couple of months now. I think by the end of the year, they will at least begin to lower the amount of money being spent on bonds. Right now, it's $120 billion. A month, and I think increasingly there's not much argument for doing that. The good news about the jobs number, though, is that it was big enough to make people kind of confident that we are on the way back. It is, it's a reopening play. The big number was really an increase in jobs in leisure and hospitality.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, purely reopening. We, as restaurants, casinos, hotels go back to business, that's the kind of result you're going to see. And I think it's very encouraging. I do think that it would be stronger. I think the numbers would have been better if we didn't have this $300 a week incremental unemployment insurance. Good news is a couple of dozen states now have canceled that. And I think in next month's jobs program, you're going to see the result of that discontinuance of unemployment benefits in, I think it's now 24, 25 states.
Yeah, 24, so, and Florida. Florida was the latest to drop the $300 a week federal unemployment benefit.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, it just, you know, look, this has to happen because people are making more money not working, and humans are rational. They're not going to drive themselves crazy trying to find a job, trying to, you know, get back on the payroll if they can make more money staying home. And it's not all the incremental unemployment benefits. It's also thousands of dollars per child in child tax credits. It's also expanded food stamps, all kinds of benefits that the government felt was necessary to battle the pandemic effects. But I think now it's pretty clear we really need to go back to letting people go back to work, because what we're seeing, you know, really just a tremendously tight jobs market.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Liz, it just seems so common sense. I mean, the states that are dropping the $300 a week federal unemployment benefits, I think they're all red states. They're all Republican-led states. Blue states are still holding on. And the damage, you know, just like with the kids, the damage of the workforce that this is doing, you cannot be out of work. You start losing a certain level of acumen. You know, your game is not as sharp as it would be if you're, you know, continuing to work. I think for the easy money, there is going to be a consequence that the labor force will pay, and the job issuers and these businesses that are going to look for good people to come and be employed.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, there's also a factor that this is happening in the midst of what I would say is sort of the long expected retirement of the baby boomers. A lot of boomers continued to work, you know, right up to and through COVID, more than expected. The size of the workforce, I think, surprised people. And I think a lot of people continued to work because, A, they don't expect to keel over at age 72 anymore. You know, that life expectancy has improved. So why retire at 60 if you're going to live another 20, sometimes 30 years?
Right.
It's a very appealing prospect.
Well, the other aspect, though, Liz, people are happier when they're working.
I totally agree. Well, that's, you know, I totally agree.
Yes.
And the people, my generation, I have a lot of friends who've retired early. You know, I don't think it's a very healthy thing. They find themselves without a whole lot of things to do. I mean, nobody can play golf every day.
Yeah. I mean, I know. They're calling you. Come on, let's go play golf. Let's go out to lunch.
Yeah.
You go, well, I got a report. I've got to, oh, what? I mean,
yeah,
it's almost
the
like
road to madness.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, pinning your happiness on your daily round of golf. Wow. I cannot imagine anything worse. At least the way my golf is, that would be really horrible. We also have still a lot of moms at home because their kids are not in school full time.
Exactly.
And
that's huge.
Even
that's huge.
Partly, yes, it's a big thing. I mean, if schools partly reopen, yes, you can see your way back to eventually working, but, you know, you're not going to be taking a job, going in Monday, but then your kid's off Tuesday. And I mean, it's a mess. And they just got to get these schools up running full time. And I think that'll happen in September. But it certainly is a little bit of a spanner in the works right now.
Well, until that happens, of course, these are headwinds against, you know, having a full labor force. I mean, what have we got? 8 million jobs available right now that need to be filled. And the people are saying, well, that's okay.
And only about 6 million people actually unemployed, depending on your definition. So, you know, Bill, you walk down any street of any town, and I will guarantee you, you see help wanted signs. You know, in resorty kind of areas, which have been inundated with people escaping the city, like East Hampton, I think there's a Citadel out there that posted a $2,500 signing bonus for going to work there. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go apply to a job.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're paying people just to show up just so that they have a warm body to, you know, interview. I mean, it's tough when you are competing with the government, in a sense, for labor. And the government is doing everything they can to keep labor pushed down. And you wonder, you go, you know, what is your point at the end of the day
a Joe Biden administration and the Democrats. Well, what is your point to, you know, do this kind of damage to our labor force?
Well, I, it's just because they can't stop handing out free money to people because they're buying votes. I mean, let's just be honest about this. That is what they're doing. And the buying of votes is a temporary high. It helps Democrats win elections, but it's not good for the country.
I love how they do this, too. And the Democrats have really developed this into an art form. You know, to your point, in terms of buying votes, they're buying votes with people's money that don't agree, you know, that are part of we the people.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got in the Treasury, they got our money, and they're spending it in a manner to which we don't agree with it, you know, to secure, you know, their political lives. It's disgusting.
Well, it's pretty hard to fight against, unfortunately. I mean, an awful lot of Americans poll very favorably on all these benefits increases. And, you know, a lot of people signed up for Andrew Yang's guaranteed minimum income, for example.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've gotten away in this country from the idea that, as you say, work is its own reward. I mean, that is how you propel yourself forward, how you develop your own skills, how you create opportunities for yourself and your family. You know, if the government's going to come in and do all those things for you, why work?
Yeah,
that's the bottom line, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we're incentivizing all the wrong behavior. And at some point, Liz, as you know, in business, it has to be reconciled. You know, the bottom line has to come together, even though in government they don't know about balancing a budget and doing that sort of thing. But there are certain rules of life that have to be honored, whether we like it or not.
That's exactly right. And frankly, laws of nature and laws of the economy. I mean, people aren't stupid. If 42% of the people getting these enhanced unemployment benefits right now are making more than they would make if they went back to their job. So, you know, I don't know where this goes, Bill. The market is not responding particularly favorably or unfavorably to the jobs report. I thought it would be stronger with the view that the Fed would just keep churning out money. Because it's not a million jobs, you know, half a million is good.
Yeah, they've been saying the last couple of months we expected a million jobs, but there's no way, right?
Yeah. And by the way, the ADP, you know, which reports on the private jobs number, that has been almost close to a million. So the numbers are kind of weird coming out of the government. I don't quite know what to make of them.
Well, they're probably coming through Dr. Fauci's office, just saying. On the side. We've got more from Liz Peek.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Sheila, we need to set up Johnson's quarterly review.
Janowski Investments keeps portfolios profitable, but a double client base calls for double the advisors.
Hello. Hi, Janet. I'm so sorry. Pulling up your portfolio right now. Give me a sec.
Indeed can help them hire the people they need.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Now,
now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nanocolloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nanocolloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Liz Peek continues with us. Liz, last night had an opportunity to attend a dinner with one of your colleagues, DeRoy Murdoch, down in West Palm Beach with the Club for Growth. Andy Biggs spoke, and the congressman was talking about, the things that they were trying to do, to do something better than what Newt Gingrich did in terms of a contract of, for America. For these next couple of election cycles that are going on. And I said to them, I commented to them, I said, but, here we are at a Club for Growth meeting, and you've got to re-engage those Republicans and conservatives that became disenfranchised after the 2020 elections. I mean, they're none too happy. I mean, as far as what they understand, the election was a fraud. There's too many questions, things that are still being brought into evidence. And, they don't want to get your emails. They don't want to have any more, donor reach outs and that sort of thing. They're very disappointed with the way this thing came down, and that there's no fight out of the Republican Party to come down to the truth and figure out what the heck happened. And until then, they're outside of the tent.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of disappointment and disillusionment. But, really, what do people want? I mean, I think they have to kind of suck it up, excuse the expression, and decide that getting Joe Biden out of office in 2024 is the most important thing we can accomplish. And secondly, taking back Congress in 2022. We have got to stymie Joe Biden's grandiose transform the nation at all costs program, and that's what he's talking about. So it'd be great to see Republicans stop shooting within the tent.
Exactly.
Let's turn our fire on Democrats. And at the end of the day, Bill, what are you going to do, right? I mean,
no, there's no question. This is an emotional response, Liz.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a good percentage of people will suck it up and just say, okay, because even I said last night, because they were talking about, who's going to run for, president and everything, and I just flat out said, if not Donald Trump, then who?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I think the obvious person is right near where you are. Ron DeSantis is a candidate that's gotten a lot of talk recently. I think he's a terrific candidate. He's been a very successful governor. I was reading his bio this morning. Someone was sending that around on an email chain that I'm on. It is unbelievably impressive. You probably know this, but I mean, he went to Yale. He went to Harvard Law School. He's a brilliant guy. but more importantly, also a very good politician in the sense that he can explain what he's trying to do. I think the only concern about Ron DeSantis is I worry he's peaking too early, that right now he's just on top of the world. Everybody thinks he's fabulous. Between now and 2024 is kind of a big leap. Long time. And
well it's another thing too. When you start getting closer, then you got the opposition coming at you full blast. Right now,
they already are.
Yeah, exactly. But not like, you know, give it another year and then see the intensity, especially if he starts rising and he's the serious candidate. I think that the prospects are good. I don't disagree with that. I still think, you know, in terms of charisma, I don't know that he has the charisma, certainly not to the level as a Donald Trump.
Well, in power of personality, I would agree with that, but I don't know that it matters. I mean, to some degree, you know, where are Republicans on Donald Trump right now? I think we've seen polling that suggests that even his biggest fan group, like the CPAC crowd, want his policies. They're not sure they want Donald Trump. And I think, and frankly, it isn't all because of January 6th. It really began, I think, with the lead up to the election. We saw a man who, you know, kind of just couldn't imagine, who couldn't imagine that he wasn't going to win re-election, and then he couldn't imagine that he didn't. And and I think it's understandable. I mean, the guy, I have such sympathy for Donald Trump. I mean, from the moment he was elected, against all odds, against all expectations, all he had was incoming fire from Democrats, from the media, from the social media crowd, et cetera. He did an amazing job considering the full-out obstruction
that
he faced.
Right.
Unfortunately, the way he could do that is because he is a really difficult person and not someone, you know, not someone who's going to bring around, frankly, those suburban women who were simply turned off by his manner and his personality. What we need is someone who carries those policies forward, which, by the way, are enormously popular.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Make America First. Who doesn't? I mean, do you really want to sign on to America Last, which is sort of the alternative?
Well, it's what we're getting right now. And clear, there's a clear difference in that regard. Exactly. And the thing is, as you said, this is what leadership looks like. Leadership isn't necessarily popular, as you know. You and I have been in business long enough and worked in different companies, and we know what it can be like. It's lonely at the top, but especially so when you have the mainstream media. You have people. I mean, at least you were in corporate America. You could ferret out the moles, and you can get them, you know, reassigned somewhere. Get them out of the company, get them out of the culture. In the government, you can't. And here we are finding out now that we're seeing emails, a lot of things that Trump had said. I said the big headline the other day was, Trump's right again. Here it is. They're finding out what Fauci, how he misrepresented stuff. We've been saying this, you know, almost from day one. We knew that Fauci had invested in with the NIH money, his money as well, into Wuhan. And then to come out and be quiet and acting as he didn't know anything about it, and we didn't know enough in this gain of function. This whole gain of function language drives me nuts, frankly, because this is nothing short of biological warfare, which, by the way, was outlawed in the 40s.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, I mean, Fauci has got to go. Amazingly, I don't think Biden agrees with that. Today, I just got the alert from the Jill Biden's office that she is going with Anthony Fauci on a day trip to visit some vaccination center. They clearly are not ready to drop Anthony Fauci, and they should be, because he has lied, he's covered up, he's part of the problem. And today there's a story out, I don't know if you have seen it, where State Department officials are saying that they were told not to investigate the source of the virus, because it might lead to unpleasant discoveries about the virology lab, meaning Dr. Fauci's involvement with it. I mean, you really can't make this stuff up. That came out of the State Department. It truly is the deep State Department. I think people have a right to be very angry about all of this. And yes, and I kind of coming back full circle here, I think Trump was right about a lot of things. The problem is he kind of shot himself in the foot. And I would argue still, we've talked about this, that first debate where he came out swinging, I think, hoping that he'd push Biden into a corner and make him have one of his sort of intemperate temper tantrums, didn't work. And he showed himself at his very, very worst. We all know Trump can be appealing, funny, self-deprecating. Unfortunately, the mainstream media never showed that side of him. And when he had an opportunity nationally in a debate to show it, he did not. And I just think that was a tragedy.
Yeah, I agree with you, Liz, because that's what I was concerned about. If you remember, we talked about it, that he had to be careful that there wasn't going to be some indication of elder abuse, because he's just so much powerful and articulate in Joe Biden. And unfortunately, he took up so much oxygen, he didn't even give Joe Biden enough room to even choke on his own lack of oxygen, you know?
Yeah, and that's, which he's really good at doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. Liz, I want to address, we got a couple minutes left. I wanted to address what you're talking, because this all ties into this. And that is, with all these latest, revelations regarding the China virus and all, how does Biden confront President Xi and China?
I don't think he can. I wrote about that this week. Mm-hmm. I think he's got all kinds of problems trying to confront Xi. One is he needs his help with selling the Americans on the idea that a climate agenda of radical proportions is the right thing for the United States. It isn't, but the only way we could possibly swallow it is if China comes along, too. He also needs Xi in terms of getting back into the Iran nuclear deal. And third, you know, I do think that the Chinese may have compromising material on Joe Biden and his family and their financial transactions in China. That's what the Senate committee that looked into the Biden family overseas involvement concluded, was that there was a serious extortion risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from everything I can read about what Hunter Biden was up to in China, ties to the not just the Communist Party leadership, but also to the military. And the possibility that Joe not only knew all about all this, which I'm sure he did, but was actually involved in it, maybe when he was in the White House, I think that's scary stuff, because the Chinese will absolutely not hold back on using that kind of material.
Well, it's pretty bad, because, I mean, this is a blatant lie. I mean, and I hate to use that when we're talking about a president of the United States. But it is. I mean, for him to say that he didn't know anything, didn't have any conversations, and, oh, yeah, by the way, now there's emails and pictures of him at a restaurant with these very people, and you got the stories of Bob Alinsky and how it tied in the big guy and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just endless. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget, not too far away from you, you got Rudy Giuliani with the hard drives of Hunter's laptop. And, and the government doesn't even want it. I mean, it's like, well, do you this is the order. You should take the hard drive. No, we don't even want to touch it. I mean, what does that say?
Well, I think it's pretty alarming to think that our Department of Justice and at least the FBI is so compromised and so politically biased that we're not seeing, that they have not seen fit to investigate any of this stuff. Horrifying to me.
Got to leave it there. Liz Peek, thank you as always. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence.